The Holy Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus answered, "Those who love me will be true to my word, and Abba God will love them, and we will come to them and make our dwelling place with them. Those who don't love me don't keep my words, yet the message you hear is not mine. It comes from Abba God who sent me. This much I have said to you while still you are with me, but the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, whom Abba God will send in my name, will instruct you in everything, and she will remind you of all that I have told you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, but the kind of peace I give is not like the world's peace. Don't let your hearts be distressed, don't be fearful. You've heard me say I am going away, but I will return. If you really loved me, you would rejoice because I am going to Abba God, for Abba is greater than I. I tell you this now before it happens, so that when it happens, you will believe." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Let us pray. May the words of my lips, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O holy God. Amen. Grace and peace to you, beloved of Christ Jesus. Grace and peace. So I'll confess, I will own, that I love a good vacation road trip. Our family will take our vacation in August, and it will be a road trip. But the truth is, I can't tell you much about what's going to happen on that road trip. I don't know. They're still in the works. But mostly, most likely, we'll go west. That's really saying a lot, isn't it? Probably we're going to go west. Likely we're going to go to Glacier. Nearly for sure we'll camp. Undoubtedly, there'll be bikes attached in some form to the back of our car. I can't tell you any more details, but I like a good road trip. I love the lunches at random small town parks in these towns that we'll probably never return to with their playgrounds. I love the audiobooks and the road trip music. I love the twists and the turns along the way. I don't love the grumpy times. I don't love the backseat quarrels. But I do love the adventures that our family has on a good road trip. And maybe that's why the journey that Paul and his companions take in today's reading from Acts makes me chuckle. Following a vision that he had of a man in Macedonia requesting them to come, they are on their way. Please come, and they go. That's what happens. They are crossing the Aegean Sea. They're going from present-day Turkey, hopscotching to an island off the coast of Greece, going to mainland Greece, and then going inland just a little ways to the city of Philippi. The writer of Acts gives us all that detail here to there, really an itinerary of sorts. And then that lovely, spacious summer timeline. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. All that road trip detail, threading carefully between the islands, naming the landmarks, all at the request of a certain man of Macedonia, all to get to a place where we supposed there was a place of prayer. This Memorial Day weekend, this start of summer, can we say hallelujah? Hallelujah. Amen. It's a shout out for what my friends refer to as Church of the Big Blue Sky. Do you know that church? Church of the Big Blue Sky, a place where we suppose there was a place of prayer. Usually in the book of Acts, as Paul goes town to town, he speaks in the synagogue. That's what we expect, right? Isn't it curious that this time, in this story, he goes outside the gates of the city. He goes to the riverbank. I wonder if Paul knew something demographical or topographical or spiritual that compelled him to the river's edge. I wonder if he sensed it to be a thin space or a holy space, or if he'd heard whispers that this is the place to be. I wonder if he expected to find that man of Macedonia, the one from his vision. I wonder if he was surprised not to find him. Instead, Paul finds a community of women who have gathered right there. I wonder if these women would have been welcome in other places. I don't know. Or if they're outside the city walls, outside that community for one reason or for another. We don't know much about them, do we? Lydia is the only one who is named, a foreigner herself, it tells us. She's a merchant. She's an enterprising merchant in the purple fabric business. And like a good businesswoman, I imagine that she can read people. She can determine who she's going to trust and who she'll hire and who not so much. And as these women sat catching up, hearing the news, here come Paul and Silas and Timothy. And using all her skills of discernment, Lydia is compelled by Paul's story. Paul's own dramatic conversion to become a Jesus follower, and the transformation of community after community after community of believers. And next thing we know, the Lord opened her heart to listen. And when Lydia and her household were baptized, it's Lydia who then invites Paul and his friends to stay with them at their house. If you consult the books, the scholarly books, the books about these things, Lydia's claim to fame is that she is the first convert to Christianity in Europe. Really, though, what I love, what I perhaps love the most, is that she's part of this community gathering to pray even before she's baptized. She just goes there to pray. That's what she does. Communities like ours are filled with people at all stages of this Christian journey. Lydia and her family are a good example of being part of the community as faith grows and as it evolves. Lydia is also known in the books, but even in our story today, for her generous hospitality. It's at Lydia's house that Paul stays when in Philippi. It's to her house that Paul and Silas return, worn out after an earthquake has rattled their jail cell, and then the jailer becomes a follower. Remember that story? When Paul writes the beautiful letter to the Philippians, he mentions even the financial contributions of the followers in Philippi. Don't you wonder if it's Lydia and her purple cloth that helps support this mission? Lydia's heart was opened to listen. There's an old Hasidic Jewish story about a disciple who comes to the rabbis asking, "Why does the Torah tell us to place these words upon our heart? Why doesn't it tell us to place these words in our heart?" The rabbi answers, "Because as we are now, our hearts are closed. We cannot place the words in our hearts. We must place them on our hearts. There they sit until one day our hearts are broken and the holy words fall in." As a good friend sat down beside me this week and asked a question, a simple, "How are you?" kind of question, I was surprised how in that moment my heart was opened. The words that had rested on top fell in, and they fell in deeply. I was open to hear the question and the care in a new way, open to my pain, open to my joy, open to my own weariness and the ache of our world. Perhaps you're feeling it too. Another young person dead at the border, the choices of women that are not being honored, the climate science that says we have 11 years to change everything about how we do everything. Sometimes all of that hardens my heart. And sometimes, like this week with that question, my heart was broken open and I was opened to the Holy Spirit again. That's what happened to Lydia and her community at the river's edge. In the praying, in the listening, their hearts were opened to a new reality. Dear friends in Christ, on this long, spacious holiday weekend, at the very start of summer, I'm musing about places of prayer like Lydia's, the ones inside the confines of expectation, you know, churches and synagogues and the like, and the places of prayer on the riverbank or under the big blue sky or at the lake shore or on the back porch or around the bedside or colorfully queered beyond the lines or at the concert or circling the table. You know, the reading we heard today from John, from John's gospel, is part of Jesus' final words to his disciples before his death. "When I'm no longer with you," Jesus tells them, "then the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, she will remind you of all that I have said to you." Oh, how badly we need this Holy Spirit to remind us of the promises. Just once more, after a long week, when everything feels lost, tell me again, tell me one more time. Death isn't the end. Love wins. Love wins again. No wonder Lydia and the women gathered to pray at the river's edge. They needed to hear the promises one more time together with the Spirit's power in their own voices. They needed to hear it. As you heard during the children's message today, we lift up the ministry of the crafters. Kirsten Meebust is part of that group, and she wrote a lovely reflection that you can find at the back of your bulletin. "Sabbath is about rest, community, and delight," she begins. And then she goes on, "It's probably not accidental, then, that the craft group meets on Friday evenings at 7 p.m. and goes until we feel done. We rest from a long week and enjoy each other's company. Almost always, someone brings food to share. Often, friends who are not congregation members show up. We talk about our lives, and we talk about the congregation. We talk about theology and spirituality, and sometimes even Jesus. We talk about politics sometimes, but we also talk about pets. And there is music, and importantly, we make things." After all the comings and goings of a week, the traveling about, I give thanks for the spacious way that this particular group gathers, and there are other groups that gather in similar fashion. I suspect that Lydia, with her purple fabric, with her friends, would feel right at home on a Friday night with the craft group. It's in these places that the Holy Spirit shows up once again, reminding us that love wins, opening hearts to listen deeply, growing our sense of hospitality, changing our lives. That's what happens for Lydia on the river's edge in that place of prayer. Her heart is open. In these summer months, I pray for this community, this faithful community. Yes, I pray that we'll gather in this place of prayer. We will. We will. Really, though, I pray that wherever you are, on some road trip, or resting by a lake, or visiting with people that you love, that your heart will be open in healing, that Jesus' story, his peace, will be real and alive in you and through you, and that the Holy Spirit will remind you, renew you in the promises of God, in life, in death, in life beyond death. We are God's own. Amen.